Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to Fire Team Chat.
Wait, Jose. Corrections. All right, guys, I made a mistake last week. A brief lapse in judgment. I looked at a screenshot of the new item locking mechanism. You can lock every item in Destiny, not just exotics. I kind of feel like an idiot, so I wanted to apologize to you guys, the fans. We owe more to you than that to make those mistakes. Wanted to make sure to get it out there. But with that out of the way, back to the show.
IGN's All Destiny Show. I am your host, Jose Otero, and I am joined by the usual cast. You guys are more usual than me, regular than me. Destin Laguerre.
Hi, everybody.
And Fran Mirabella.
Fran Corrections Mirabella, you can call me.
Okay, that's a thing now.
You guys missed it. I know the show, like...
Got it. So we have a blockbuster show for you this week, folks, because for the first time in a while, we've got a lot of new information to talk about regarding the House of Wolves expansion.
That's an understatement.
So this is May 19th, if I'm not fudging up the dates. May 19th.
That date sounds so familiar to me.
Yeah, somebody called it.
Yeah, numerous times. I am going to give myself a little pat on the back.
Yeah,
we were talking about it last week, and it was funny. I started to get nervous because I was calling May 19th, and I'm like 80% maybe, and then I was getting nervous. But anyway, it turned out
as hard as you can.
I'm really, you know. So see, you can rely on me for that.
Okay,
I will make other mistakes.
According to the description from Bungie.net, the Reef will open to all Guardians and will join the allies of the Queen to destroy the traitorous Fallen from the House of Wolves. Over the course of the next month, they'll be pulling off the wraps on all of the activities, modes, events, and gear you'll have access to. They want you to stay tuned to see exactly where your legend is headed next.
Yeah,
so we're going to the Reef.
Yes, we are. And they're going to be doing some Twitch streaming, and we're going to have it all on IGN. Mm-hmm. Not the stream, but all the breakouts and all the juicy goodies.
Okay.
Tons of coverage, I mean.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fantastic voyage, we hope.
And we'll definitely be talking about it.
Yeah, but they haven't pulled too much of the wraps off it yet, right? There's a couple screenshots and a little bit, but House of Wolves is very much still under wraps. They really mostly focus on the updates and
And just the fact that it has a date, and that they'll be bringing a lot of information. That said, we're going to dive into specific areas. I guess let's begin with the big disappointment that came bundled with this. I mean, it's great that House of Wolves is not only finally getting its release, and we have a date, and we have something to look forward to. But shortly thereafter came the news that there is no raid, and that is disappointing with a capital D. I just want to make sure that that's emphasized.
So I did a double take. I just was like, what?
Before we get into it, let's read Bungie's statement. Yeah. House of Wolves will not have a raid activity. We didn't make this decision lightly. Our team has been humbled by the reception of raids in Destiny, and we are creating a new raid for a release later this year.
And the important part, they mentioned that there's a new cooperative activity,
in-game activity, focused on variety. Clearly, they're setting up the disappointment to then say, but we've got this thing that is hopefully cool.
Prison of Elders.
I didn't want to include that in the statement because that stuff we'll talk about later.
Well, I know.
But the point is, it's cool, though. We have some other stuff.
No, of course.
It's them doing damage
control. But we're in the business of seeing through the damage control and, of course, positioning that to our audience. So we do want to say, this is something we're going to talk about in a second. However, the fact that there isn't a raid included included, is extremely disappointing. And I know you and I did a conversation video where we did discuss it. I don't think the disappointment came across, so I want to make sure that it's absolutely out in front right now. We are disappointed about this. However, I don't think that House of Wolves is necessarily in a whole lot of trouble without it. I think the bigger question for Bungie is, are they charging for that raid extra or not? Because I don't know if people who signed up for that expansion pass knew they weren't getting a raid. They didn't know what they were getting.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. What I wanted to get into, which is why I mentioned Prison of Elders, was we're all sitting here saying, well, I really like the raid, and it's dynamic, and I love the six-player stuff. We don't know a ton about Prison of Elders, other than it's three-player, right?
It's a three-player
cooperative.
And it so is that an is one activity, difference. So you're not getting in without a high-level character.
That's right. So it is – it has – it similar to the raid, okay? Mm. You're going to get gear. You're going to get rewards. We know that. What we don't know is how dynamic this thing is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, who's to say it is not as dynamic as a raid?
Yeah.
I do read between the lines and think that. But meaning, let's to your point, let's not assume – right, that it's not as good. We don't know what's there yet. I just think that's important in this, right?
They're definitely describing it as variety, replayability, and skill. And, you know, of course, we want to read between the lines, but
here's a very quick silver lining. If you can win the type of rewards that you would normally have to get out of a raid, now you only need three people to do it.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
So here's the thing, and the reason that I think they went with a raidless piece of DLC, which I want to talk more about, but only 15% of daily active players have beaten the raid. 15%. So that's the audience that they would be serving, and that's hardcore audience.
And you and I made this point at the last video discussion we had about this. The raid didn't necessarily save the last expansion. It did not.
Correct.
Like, please, if you're sitting there going, well, it's a super bummer, you know, it is a bummer, but The Dark Below had a lot of problems, and it still had a good raid, and that didn't redeem it in a lot of our eyes. It did not.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the point I'm getting at. Like, I liked Crota's End, okay? Like, was super excited to play it. I liked the epic drop and all this. However, I played Vault of Glass more. Now, granted, I'm chasing Fatebringers, we all know, is the ongoing long theme of this show. But meaning, I play a ton of the other stuff, and it's a really good point. If this mode's a lot of fun, I mean, again, you can get rewards with only three people. It could be a lot of fun that maybe you'll play it more than you played raids. But, you know, I do like how complex raids are. I think that's what people are bummed about. They feel like they're getting less.
Well, and I hope to your point, or at least this is what I'm pulling from your point, is that if they can come up with the kind of activities that would work in the raid but with only three people – that to me says a lot. Like, this almost becomes to me sort of a bridge between someone who wants to do a three-man sort of mini raid and someone who wants to do the actual raid. So, not saying this is a raid, of course, because they're not even using that kind of language.
You're kind of turning this segment into the topic, which is for the next segment. And I kind of want to focus on the fact that the raid was supposed to be in this piece of DLC, and it is not.
Well, did they promise
that? It wasn't supposed to be.
There is a screen. I don't know where Forbes got it, but it's a screen, and it says House of Wolves includes a raid, a three-strike missions, et cetera, et cetera. And that's from Forbes. I don't know the original
source
of the image.
That could have been the leaked stuff that was not finalized. And
sure. It could be, but I bet consumers think that they were getting a raid with this piece of content.
Yeah, the expectation is there. And I think it's, to your point, Dustin, you really want to answer that question. Like, you know, will it fail without a raid? Is that what you're asking? Like, are people going to buy it?
I'm not worried about it failing. Do you feel that the consumer was betrayed by not getting a raid with this piece of content?
I think if it wasn't promised, it's hard to make the argument.
Yeah, do your fact-checking. I don't think they've ever promised this.
Yeah,
I think,
true.
Fine, Forbes had
which I hate to take that argument because it does feel like, well, you know, as a fan of the game, you have certain expectations going in. You want to believe that, you know, Dark Below was just a slice of what you thought you would be getting for future expansions on this thing. And honestly, they're in a weird place, too, because they're sort of writing this book as they go. I don't think they necessarily – or maybe the raid just didn't come together in time. But I think the bigger thing – that might tie into this, and it might not, so correct me if I'm wrong, but how do you make up for that, not having the raid, right? Like, does that mean the raid that you're working on, that you're saying you're working on, is going to be offered for free to anyone who already has the expansion?
It should be, in my opinion.
Okay.
When the raid's released, should it be free? That's the question we should be attempting to answer, and I think the answer is yes.
This raid's particular, not just any raid.
House of Wolves, not any raid. The next raid that comes out, if it comes out later this year, it should be part of the House of Wolves DLC pack. It should be free. Free if you purchase the pack, in my opinion. What do you guys think?
I think that's...
You don't think so?
We need to do some fact checking here, right?
Is that, I have I don't to go know back that they through ever a promised... year of promotional material.
No, I mean it should be simple, right? Like, let's look, and it'll be in the comments pretty quickly. I think, like. Did they ever promise that raids would be part of DLC?
It has
activity?
To be a VidOc or a Bungie post or some substantial evidence where Bungie said that there will be a raid.
Yeah. I'm kind of on Destin's side on this, though, because I think the bigger disappointment is if we have to pay for that raid. I do think there is a big disappointment, even bigger disappointment that comes with that, because for a lot of us, that raid should, you know, probably was going to be included.
But
in
that's how you value it, and we don't know what Prison Elders is yet, right?
And and that's fair to leave that open.
You know, well, I mean, raids can be very frustrating too. You know, it's like, yeah, honestly, I like Crota's End. I don't know. It wasn't dynamic enough versus Vault of Glass for me.
Correct. Yeah, I agree.
Maybe I'll enjoy Prison Elders more. Meaning, you're assuming the value is in the raid. That's how you perceive it. You guys sound to me like you put all the value in the raid.
So I'm trying to take the stance of the average consumer and all the people that message me saying, no raid, I'm out. Yeah. I'm done. Destin, what do you think about this? And honestly, I'm not too concerned about it. I've run through two raids. I'm really excited about the story content that's going to be included. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see what these new strikes are going to be about. I'm really excited about Prison of Elders. It's just kind of an irksome thing to hear that they took the raid out. I'm just kind of like, that's a strange decision. But then you look at the statistics. You look at the statistics, and like, I looked again 2 days ago. Somebody was saying only 18% of people finish a raid ever.
Endgame content is definitely designed for a very hardcore user base. Mm-hmm. And right now, we've talked about this on the show before, at least the episodes I've been here, is just that the bridge between getting to the raid and doing something else. Like, basically, there's a huge gap between what you consider Destiny from when you start and when you get to the raid.
Yeah.
And there isn't something in between that's guiding that. And I don't think this might necessarily be it, because at the same time, it's still an endgame activity. I think they need something like this a little sooner.
And those story missions are like level 30 story missions. So it's still endgame content.
Endgame content all for people who have maxed out, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no raid. I think if the story is excellent, this could bring people in.
I don't know. Excellent might not be a realistic expectation these days. I have to be honest, just considering where
the
Destiny's story has been.
They've hired a Guild Wars 2 writer. You know, they've hired writers that have a good track record. Let's see what they come up with.
I don't think that's going to make up for it. I mean, the reason we play Destiny is not to watch the cutscenes. Okay, eventually you want to skip them, no matter how good they are.
Yeah.
So it's going to come and go. Maybe you enjoy those 3 or 4 story missions, whatever it was going to be.
I like how my character looks in those cutscenes.
Yeah, awesome. Exactly. But you get over that is my point. The reason you're playing is for the rewards. And that's why, for me, if there's something in these new modes that has that, well, you know, if I can collaborate with another 2 people to take down an enemy and it's dynamic enough, the world piece is dynamic. I mean, that could be a lot of fun. But that's the problem, right? If it's, we're all assuming that it's like the firefight type experience, where it's going to be wave after wave. We don't know exactly yet.
Well, that has been the assumption about that stuff too. So let's move on to it. All right. Well, then the big question for Prison of Elders is Prison of Elders a new take on firefight?
It's three-player.
I think for a lot of people, they're assuming that. Go ahead, frame it. Why do people think this?
Well, the reason that they said three-player cooperative, isn't everything cooperative when you're talking about a strike? So it's cooperative endgame.
Yeah, I mean, they call it multiplayer as well. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I haven't watched how they're using their language, but they do call it multiplayer.
Well, again, focused on variety, replayability, and skill. Replayability, to me, says it's probably using one arena, one environment, one section, one place.
Oh, man, that would be a bummer.
I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
What if you're going into the same area like 900 times where this big orb is?
Or
it could be. That's probably your Kelpkus guy.
Well,
Kallax. Kallax.
Kallax Prime. Yeah. So Kallax Prime is sort of the story lead into this with House of Wolves.
We talked about it a little bit.
We're guessing. Yeah. Just because the servitor is somewhat involved in that stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard to really decipher what Prison of the Elders is, and Bungie, honestly, the impetus is on them is to frame it right.
Like, we could talk about all of our worries about Prison of Elders. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, premature. I mean,
I don't think they're messing around with this. I don't think it's going to be one stage that you go into repeatedly. I think it's going to be like Earth, Moon, Venus, or Mars, a certain area, and you go in and you fight waves of enemies, different types of enemies, too.
But we're going to know on May 6th, so that's the date that they put on it.
And that's on the second page here,
May
6th, Prison of Elders. That's where we're going to find out more.
That's when they'll have the big reveal for it.
I don't know that it's worth speculating on at the moment. But that's what I keep throwing out there. It's really how dynamic is this? Because my sense is that's really where you win the rewards.
Yeah.
Which is really the main reason I play the Vault and Crota's End. Granted, it is really cool to play with 5 other people.
I prefer three people for endgame content. I think
that's really cool.
What getting six people together is a pain sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't have six people all willing to do the vault, you just sit there for like an hour.
Why do you think it's 15%?
People together with a strike, it's like that every time.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was getting at before. Like, the raids are very high-end. Mm-hmm. There's apparently 15% of people that can pull something like that off and have the willingness to do so.
But they're high-end because of the time investment and because there's so much relying on...
Correct.
So much of it depends on the teamwork and the dynamic between the teams.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, if this mode is dynamic and fun...
This almost
nice
sounds like an assumption that this won't be as deep, and I don't know if that's necessarily true.
No,
I think
I'm not saying
that. You can still be just as long of a time commitment in order to get certain amounts of gear. I mean, Firefight... Just to tie it back to that a little bit, and I'm not necessarily saying this is tied to that or not, but do you guys remember with Firefight the an ODST, the recon armor requirement, and how it was it basically took 2 hours to clear through all the waves you needed to get through in order to get that. So that to me was my first run-in with this sort of ideal of a shooter, having a reward that, even at the time it was just cosmetic, but recon armor was in such high demand back then. Everybody wanted it, right? So take that framework and apply it towards maybe what they learned there with Prison of Elders. Not saying it's necessarily one environment that you are only going to be shooting at enemies and wave after wave will drop. I think actually Destiny has too much of that right now. Almost every single strike mission or encounter dances around the idea of you capture a position and then hold it against waves for a certain amount of time.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah,
that's like the whole game design philosophy.
Yeah, it's a crux of most shooters, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it's a crux possibly of the tools that they're using. Quite honestly, I mean, this is a brand new sort of universe, a brand new style of game, something that branches across in a first-person shooter, real-time like world. It's not Planet Side 2. Like it's something. It's the console version of that. You know,
they're
their
stuck with a framework that they can't improve until Destiny 2, at least.
Yeah, pretty much.
I have a question for you, Jose.
Uh-oh.
Should Prison of Elders have matchmaking?
It's
three people, not six.
I think
you're
it depends.
I can guarantee you you're going to need to communicate.
You want to let me answer this question? I'm kidding.
I'm giving you time.
You are. Yeah. I think it's going to depend on the types of activities involved.
Okay.
If there is something as strict as take Vault of Glass and take where someone has to hold the relic, while you have two people sort of going down the stairs, firing at the different, what do you call those guys again? I forget the
oracles.
The oracles that are floating in the air, and how if they don't wipe those guys out in a certain amount of time, or the person holding the shield doesn't do the cleanse when they need to, you're done.
Dead.
Everyone's dead, right?
I think
that's a three-player version, by the way, of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So I think it very much
is
relevant.
That's exactly the type of stuff that you're going to see in here potentially, right?
Yeah.
It might not be as grandiose design, right?
Yeah.
But you're going to get those type of potential activities or wave-type things happening, which could still be a ton of fun.
You know?
And hectic with three people, too. A lot less organization. So... I mean, if you assume it's that, it sounds like you're saying
I think it's that, but maybe this is me just coming around to the point, but I kind of hope this is an opportunity for them to experiment with that idea.
Mm-hmm.
This is a brand new style of activity, right? According to them.
Yeah.
So why not roll out matchmaking with it and see how that sort of plays out? And if it's friendly and if everyone can finish or pull each other through and there aren't the massive conflicts that I fear can happen in the raid, maybe then you apply it to the raid. Maybe this is your litmus test. I don't know that.
Yeah. But I think, you know, those are the stats. I mean, 15%. I mean, I think you kind of got to look at matchmaking. Like, I'm sorry, but I.
But matchmaking doesn't make that stat bigger.
Yes, it
does. I don't think it does.
It 1,000% would make it bigger.
I'm not going to say that's the problem, Jose, but I'm going to assume the fact that you can't just jump in the raid is quite the roadblock. So,
yeah.
I was really just saying for this, why not go for it? And if people fail, you fail. Because. Whatever.
And this doesn't
this might
stop
be different,
you.
Right? You're done. Yeah. You three failed. Well, then you probably should be talking to each other. I mean, maybe it'll be that scenario.
That sounds like the next thing we're going to talk about. Actually,
What are we talking about
segue.
Next? Let's see. So is this the next thing we're talking about?
So we're talking about Trials of Osiris next, and we have one picture of the gear, which we'll get to later. But Trials of Osiris is three strikes or you're out. That's about all we know about it. It's multiplayer based. Three strikes, you're out.
Competitive or cooperative?
I believe it's competitive.
They used the word elimination, right? I believe I saw that too.
Yeah. And we know very little about this, but the gear looks awesome.
The
for
gear
some
looks
characters.
Oh, for some. Are you disappointed in the Hunter's Orb style face?
The Orb Sun face?
The Orb Sun face?
Yeah, but the Raw Warlock looks amazing. Ooh. And I even like the Titan Helm. The chess piece on the hunter looks really, really good.
Very, very Egyptian. Yeah. I like it.
It's funny. What? I have trouble telling them apart. Like, is the warlock on the right?
Warlock's on the right. Titans on the left. Yeah. Hunter's in the middle.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Got to get those glasses for Fran.
No, I can see. It's just like they all look so similar in the shot.
I'm okay with the hunter gear, I have to be
You're
honest.
You're okay?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
It's not terrible. I just, the helmet's kind of eh.
Yeah. It's this weird Egyptian style.
It is.
Is a good way to put it.
I mean, the warlock is one step closer to the Anubis from Zone of the Enders that we've all dreamed about.
Yeah.
You know, like, just get the right cloak on that thing. Oh, my goodness.
Warlock looks awesome. I can't wait to get that helmet. That's what I'm going to be, like, shooting
multi-character.
For. I like that it's shooting. I like that it's so out there, but I'm more interested in the House of Wolves gear, you know, at the, well, sorry, the Prison of Elders gear, I guess, or no. I don't know. It's the Queen's gear or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in what that's going to look like. This seems to me more the Iron Banner type approach, right?
Yeah,
like,
but that gear better be as cool looking as some of this stuff.
Yeah, well, there's been some leaks and stuff that if it's true, right? I mean, it looks, I keep thinking it looks like Burton snowboarder gear, but...
Well, and I think the other missed opportunity, I mean, this sort of ties into the gear that we're talking about, sort of doesn't, but I think one of the missed opportunities, and I think this has been brought up on the show before as well, is that there just isn't a ton of variety in what's available as gear right now at the endgame level. Like, if you're
32 or you're low,
you all look the same. If you are a hunter, if you are
we've talked about that a ton.
And I hope that by introducing a new activity, that this is giving them, or a couple of new activities. I mean, the Trials of Osiris, we don't know if this is a limited thing or if this is here to stay either, right?
Yeah, we know very little about it. We're going to find out more on April 29th very soon.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it feels like it's going to be an Iron Banner-esque thing, but when you're out, you're out. And then you go into, I assume, spectator mode.
Wait, but when you mean you're out, like, are we talking about, like, okay, just, what do you
mean? When you're out, you're
I assume it's Crucible style, right?
All we know is it's three strikes and you are out. I don't know what that means, maybe for the, I assume for the week. I'm assuming you're out
you
for the
think
week.
It's, oh, you think it's bigger like
so,
that.
I don't think you get, like, three chances once and then you
I mean,
lose
I thought
forever.
This might be a game mode of where, you know.
Three strikes and you have to start over.
The week is interesting. Mm-hmm. Really interesting.
I think
we know very little about Trials of Osiris. They've mentioned it like one other time months ago and then today, and they're just like, here's a picture of the gear you're going to get.
So do you guys remember, no one likes to give this game enough credit these days. Do you guys remember Halo Reach multiplayer?
Yeah, totally. I love Halo Reach.
Oh, finally. I'm in the company of friends.
I love the multiplayer.
I'm in the company
of friends.
No, that's fine. I'll take it. I'll take the love of anything.
Traditional Halo fans are not as big a fan. Obviously, so.
No, I bring this up because Halo Reach, just talking about this, reminded me of a hardcore mode or game
where you
type.
Go get the points and do like Grumpocalypse to farm them, right?
No. This was the one where it was more, it had to do with player rating.
Oh, okay.
And it had to do with that you were evaluated for a month. In a certain amount, and maybe this is not relevant to this, maybe it is, but the notion that you would compete for a certain amount of time, and then at the end you were rated and ranked according to that. And so you can look, for example, on Bungie.net, and you had this whole statistical breakdown of how you placed, where you placed versus other people.
Yeah.
And if they tied rewards to that for this three strikes you're out thing, I think that could be potentially really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure, though, because it was a bit – I felt like it was a bit too much for me. I'm just struggling to remember do you remember what I'm talking about here, right?
Not really. I'd have to look it up.
All right, so I'm going
to
look it up for a second. You guys go ahead.
I mean, that's only a couple weeks away that we're going to know about that because they're showing trials first. We'll know soon.
So let's just talk about the gear for a second. Let's rate them first to third place for design. Okay, first place, Warlock. I think we're probably going to agree on this one. For me, first place Warlock, second place Titan, third place Hunter.
You know, I mean, I have two Warlocks, so I'm biased. I love the helmet. So I'm going to rate pieces
here.
Itself. The helmet, number one on Warlock.
Yeah.
Number two on Titan. The chess piece, I actually like the Titan.
For me, chess piece is kind of
I do not like the weird... moving carpet, you know, you're packing carpet that's all like ribbed carpeting style of. They have this
of the
in
hunter?
The current, you know, game. These no on the Warlock, these weird ribbed like piece. I don't know. I just don't like the look of that stuff.
I actually really like the hunter's chest piece a lot.
Yeah, the hunter's chest piece is nice. So.
Yeah, his chest piece with all the buckles and whatever.
But yeah, if I had to break down, I mean, the helmet is just awesome on the Warlock. It's pretty cool because it takes on more of a different form.
Yeah. What about you, Jose?
So I found.
We'll put this picture in the article. So if you're listening, you can.
So
go
you're asking
check
which
out.
One's the best one?
Yeah,
Warlock one's easy.
Number two.
Number two. I'll give it to Titans. I mean, whatever. Right, like, I don't think the Hunter one is that bad though. Like, we even agree. Though third place is last place, it's not like the worst place. Is so what
for,
I'm saying.
For Hunter always looks kind of similar. You know,
for the chess piece, for me, the Titan and the Hunter are like neck and neck.
Yeah,
they both have a really cool.
Yeah, chess piece.
So
chest
I found
armor.
What the mode was called. It's okay. called it was called Arena. And the idea was garner the traditional rankings of the past online Halo experiences in our seasons and classes. Mm-hmm. Do well here, and you will be grouped into fights of players featuring the best of the best. By the end of each season, your stats will be archived, reset, and you need to climb your way to the top of the heap again. And so basically, you would work on your placement in a season to end up in a new bracket next season.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. It was a super hardcore, at least in my opinion, concept for Halo Reach multiplayer, and I just wonder if they're ever going to play with that again in a multiplayer context. Could Trials of Osiris be related to that? I don't know for a fact.
Yeah.
But it was a cool experiment, I thought, because competitive, you get the most competitive people out there competing over something, like it can get crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I like the concept of tying some really cool gear to that.
Yeah. I mean, they do. I do think leaderboards and adding that at this point would be huge, obviously, because you don't have that right now.
Yeah. So just that was what I was going to earlier. Great question, though, by the way. And I still think the Hunter gear is all right. If you think differently,
it's not that bad.
Write in to destiny@ign.com.
I just don't like the helmet. Don't write it. Just leave a comment. Don't send me an email. Just like, I like this gear. Bye. You know.
Destin is wrong. Yeah. All right.
I have to read all those emails, so I don't want ones that are just like, I like the Hunter helmet.
You are one of the nicest show hosts in this building. If you're reading every email that comes in,
we need to make a poll. We'll make a poll.
Okay.
And, we'll add
I like
it to the
that.
Article.
All right. Leave a vote on the poll. You'll find it in the article for this story. Head on over to IGN.com and look for Fireteam Chat. All right. Lastly, the 1.1 update hit.
Oh,
and it has a new ball with some new effects in the tower.
Yeah.
The vault space is now increased. Colorblind support is now in. Audio controls and the lock ability.
Yep. And you can put your helmet on or off in the tower.
There's so
have
much.
Have you guys gotten to check this out? It was a huge update.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 6 gigs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Big stuff.
It's funny. Must download in the background. Yeah, just.
So I filled up my vault instantly, and I still have too much stuff on
my
characters.
The vault.
First world Destin problems. No, I'm kidding.
No, it didn't work for me either. Like, I have the... It's the same problem that I had before. It's like eased up a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't, it helps. But I'm still bleeding, you know.
I like want to have everything in the vault. Everything I have in the vault, and then be like, all right, I need this loadout.
With the organization that we've talked about before, too. So it's nice.
It's,
And I know the limitations they're working with. So I'm glad that we have it, obviously. Don't always want to sound like an ingrate.
Yeah.
But, I still have the same problem, you know, switching between characters. I'm like, now I got to go to the app, drop that in the vault, or switch. You know, I just hate using the app companion to deal with that. I just want to do it all in the game.
So during the Nightfall, like every week, I'll get like a shotgun I don't want, then the same shotgun with a different damage modifier, then that shotgun again with the other damage modifier.
Right.
Get that stuff off the loot table. Like, if you get one, don't give it to me three times.
Wait, I thought you said it has different roles.
It does.
Oh, I like that.
Fire, arc, or void.
Oh, that. No, also
but it's
the perk
exactly
rolls
the
are
same.
Different, though. They should be different.
I haven't looked, but I don't want any
See,
of these
See, I love
purples.
That. Like, I've gotten some nice rolls.
I want Hawkmoon.
If you're listening to the audio version, you are missing the vein that is throbbing in Destin's head right now.
Yeah, that's a whole different discussion. The loot tables and stuff there.
I'm so tired of getting, like, the same purples that I don't want every week.
They have done a ton of updates, though, by the way. What you went through is like a portion of all the – they have the raid fixes, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. You should definitely check it out or revisit the game if it's been a while for you. You'll find some cool stuff there. And one more thing that we should be talking about. Speaking of purples and purples you don't want, what about the purples you have?
Oh, so all right. they
What
released...
about if I told you that you can update the purples you have to
Very
a new
soon.
Damage threshold?
Yeah, on May 19th. That'd be amazing. That's what I think about that.
Okay.
And on May 19th, it's going to happen. With... for example, Fatebringer can be upgraded. All of your exotics are going to be able to be upgraded. And it looks like the new base damage is 365. That's either base or max. We don't know.
Yeah.
But that's exciting.
That's probably max, I would bet. Yeah.
I am very excited that you're going to be able to upgrade all these
weapons.
So
I love that they show Fatebringer right next to it, because the biggest complaint from the Dark Below was, why is my gear irrelevant?
Yeah.
I have Fatebringer.
Yeah.
I have all of these cool...
Vision of Confluence, even Vex. Like, that would be very interesting
this
if
is
Vex
gonna,
is eligible. You know?
This is going to make Vault of Glass relevant again. Yeah. There's weapons in there you really, really want.
Okay, but what about armor?
Yeah.
Well, is armor part of this?
Oh, they didn't talk
they
about
didn't
armor.
Say
well,
that.
I can give you guys a tip. Yeah. Don't judge something based on just a photo. Because that really leads to problems.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah. This is clearly, sir. Look at the picture here.
I was just joking because last week when they showed Suros in the update, and we were talking about the item locking. That's when we were just talking so quickly, and I put thinking that they clearly just meant exotic, and it was silly. But no, meaning they're showing a weapon, its gear. Ultimately, I think so. Yeah, I think. Man, but when I can upgrade my helmet from Vault of Glass, I'm going to wear that thing all
over
the place.
But that means armor is still slightly irrelevant in the Vault of Glass, sadly.
No, it's not. I'm saying it will be upgraded.
Oh, you think it will be upgradable?
I think it absolutely will be, yes.
Okay.
I mean, why would they do one, not the other?
Next week, we'll be kicking things off by revealing the upgrade path for your existing exotic and legendary
gear. That's right.
So I think that does include armor.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Please be armor. Sure.
So I think
all right. But this is a good thing, right? Because it makes all that stuff relevant. You're absolutely right. It makes Vault of Glass relevant. It gives you reasons to want to go back to the raids that you maybe stopped playing.
Yeah.
Do any of you guys have the Fourth Horseman?
I do.
You do?
Yeah,
did you get to test the update?
It's so good. It's like blam, 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 blam.
Yeah. So they brought it back to its original intended values.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that there was a problem with the auto fire because, I don't have it. It's one of my most desired exotics. But, apparently the full auto on that thing is brutal.
Awesome.
You can just get in front of some pretty big enemies and just unload. And
they're done.
They're done. So it's like basically it is, I mean, it sounds to me absolutely the most powerful shotgun in the game.
Mm. And maybe
this
weapon.
Upgrade. Like, could what even if you be go up to... close. Well, it's got to be. It's 2X.
You go to the
last thing. I mean, it is. Up close, it's got to be the most powerful weapon.
I've got to upgrade mine and try it against the Queen or the Ur-Yut in Crota.
Ur-Yut,
on hard.
You mean the machine gun?
The shoddy. Up close against Ur-Yut when she starts her song.
She
probably
will
die,
destroy
right?
her.
Like
I'm
one
sure
clip,
it will
two
her.
Clips?
Yeah. I mean, when
I
you
gotta
do,
try that.
When
That's
you do
exciting.
Your math, like up close and the rate of fire. Yeah, it's got to be more powerful than Galhorn.
Oh,
I mean,
definitely.
The problem is you got to be like right there. Anyway,
if
you've got Fourth Horseman, check it out. That was a really cool upgrade to something that many of us don't even have, I guess. But
we got
to
wrap it up, Jose.
Yeah, we do need to wrap it up.
This is an exciting episode.
It has been.
It's too much to talk
I know
about.
I'm resting my head on my hand here, but it's absolutely an exciting episode just because there's so much on the horizon. So the dates for you folks, Impressions, at least Bungie is promising Impressions, and we'll be right alongside them.
Yeah.
April 22nd, you'll be hearing about the Reef and the gear upgrade at 11 a.m. April 29th, you'll be hearing about Trials of Osiris. May 6th, you'll be hearing about Prison of Elders. Please be amazing. Mm-hmm. May 8th, more info soon.
That's all they told us.
That's all they told us. That's all that's in the update. But you can make sure you check out IGN.com and see everything will make its way to that page.
That's right.
We promise.
I would also like to disclaim that we've all seen a lot of the various leak information out there. We do read that stuff. I think us, especially on the reporting side, we are just careful about going too deep into those details. So it's like I actually forgot some of the Trials of Osiris details about like spending a mode of light. And there's been some leaks even on the gear.
Yeah.
But you don't know that that's real, so you got to be careful what you put out there. So,
a lot of that stuff's not final.
I just want to say that. It's like it's not that we don't put some credence in it, but we do have to be careful about how deep we go down those conversations. If you're wondering, like, didn't you guys see? It's because I've gotten tweets of like, here's all the gear for House of Wolves, and it's like, well, potentially, but I don't know that, so I don't know how much you really want to spend time talking about that. Just a slight disclaimer.
No, that's
in case
fine.
You think we're
here's all the stuff
oblivious to the tons of information that's been leaked out there.
I got that tweet once. Here's all the stuff you're gonna get in House of Wolves number one raid.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That is absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's going to be on Earth. That was also one of the clips.
Yeah.
So
all right.
You never know how it's going to turn out.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to Fireteam Chat. We are a weekly show on IGN, but we are not the only show on IGN. There's a brand new anime podcast. There is shows on Nintendo, Microsoft, Xbox, Star Wars. You name it, we got it. Make sure you head on over to IGN.com. Check out that stuff. Also, if you're a fan of the show or do you have feedback, first of all, you can go over to iTunes. Leave us a review.
Yes.
That would be great because it always helps with show visibility. Mm-hmm. If not, write in, destiny@IGN.com. Let us know what you think. We're always looking for ways to continue doing stuff with the community. So I think we should talk after this, too, because maybe we should organize some kind of community play date for the raid.
Yeah,
I think
that would
be
awesome.
Kind of fun. Maybe do some kind of contest.
Yep.
Pull three people.
That'd be great.
Play with them.
Yeah.
Online.
Maybe do a plays. Yeah.
We're number 9 in video game podcasts
right now. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Sweet.
So that's all for us. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow the fabulous Fran Mirabella.
At Fran Mirabella.
You can find the dedicated Destin Legere at
Destin Legere.
And you can find myself, Jose_Otero on Twitter. Thank you very much for listening. And we will be back next week with more Fireteam Chat.
Later, guys.
Guardians out.
Guardians out.
Ooh.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.